Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live on this Monday afternoon. Maybe it's a Monday evening where you are. Maybe it's even a Tuesday morning, depending on which side of the dateline you're on. Wherever you are, we're happy you're here. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. I'm certainly happy to be here. I always love getting back here on Mondays to do this, and thank you for making that possible. I'm going to give you the number 888-318-7884 in case you want to call today, because we've got two great guests. Second hour, Steve Ray will be here. And 47 years married, I think 19 grandchildren, and Steve Ray here to talk about loving your spouse, which we thought that's a good one for Valentine's Day. And Steve's a good one, so perfect combination. And that'll be second hour. This hour, we talk about the Stations of the Cross. And now you might be tempted to laugh a little bit. Tying the Stations of the Cross to romantic love, to marital love. But there's probably more connection than we are usually ready to admit, certainly on the wedding day. We usually don't mention this to the couple, but maybe it should be mentioned more. 888-318-7884, here to talk to us about the Station of the Cross, because he has a new book out, brand new book, as a matter of fact, just came out today from Ascension Press, the pocket guide to the Stations of the Cross, available at ascensionpress.com/stations. Dr. Edward Sree. Dr. Sree, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
It's been so long. I feel like I haven't seen you in forever.
I mean, it's been probably, two or three shows?
Since Wednesday, right, exactly. But congratulations on the new book. Dr. Sree, of course, also one of the founders of FOCUS, the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, where are you the vice president now of FOCUS? Is that where you're serving?
Vice President of Formation, yes.
Vice President for Formation, and then also the maker of Symbolon. Again, congratulations on the book.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm really excited. You know, I've done a lot of work on Christ's Passion and thinking of meditating upon that biblically, and they asked if I'd be willing to do something on Stations of the Cross. It was a nice fit, and it was really fun. I have to say this, you know, Lent, I know it's Valentine's Day, but Lent is around the corner, you know, so hate to be the bearer of bad news.
I know. A lot of us dread it. Yeah. Father Hugh tells me that, I think it was Father Hugh told me, Lent was his favorite season of the year. And I was like, what kind of who says Lent is my favorite season of the year? Maybe it was Advent. I might have got that wrong. Again, the number is 888-318-7884. But here on Valentine's Day, we celebrate romantic love, whatever that may have to do with Saint Valentine himself. We celebrate with the cherubs and the hearts and the chocolates, romantic love. What does that have to do with Stations of the Cross?
Yeah, I think it's a fitting day for us to do this, to have this out here, because, you know, if we want really good marriages and we want really to be good parents, to raise our children well, the young adults listening out there, you want to have a good boyfriend, girlfriend, romantic relationship, we have to realize that, like, what real love is not all about, you know, the romance, the chocolates, the roses. You know, that's a part of it, of course. If you want to know what real married love is, you look at the cross. I mean, that's what Jesus reveals to us. And I think it's so important in our day and age to always have the cross before our minds, because everywhere we turn, when we look in our secular world, all the shows we watch, the music we listen to, they tend not to focus on the cross. You know, they talk about sex, they talk about romance, wealth, fame, pleasure, comfort, success, worldly praise. And the cross is just such a counter-cultural message. And yet, it is the secret. I mean, St. Paul describes it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, is the cross is the hidden wisdom of God. And so it really is the roadmap. And in fact, the opening chapter I have in the book on the Stations is called The Divine Fire of Love. Like, that's what Stations of the Cross is really all about. It helps me to have the story of Jesus's passion on my mind and on my heart. You know, it reminds me of something Pope Benedict said. I always like to share this. You know, we speak of Christ's passion, and the word passion comes from the Latin word passio, which means suffering. And for centuries, that's the word that's been used to describe those last hours of Jesus's life, his passion, his suffering. But Pope Benedict beautifully reflected on how that word passion in the modern era takes on another level of meaning. It describes, you know, eros, that romantic, passionate love. And you can see, well, what does the cross have to do with that? And it shows how God, who is love, he loves us so much that even though we turned away from him, we rejected him in sin, He seeks us out. He's so in love with us. St. Catherine of Siena says, you know, you're a mad lover, oh God. You're drunk with love. Like, it doesn't make any sense that you would love us this much, given how much we forget you, we don't follow you, and yet you seek us out. You became one of us, and you even died for us. And so Pope Benedict says that what you see in the story of Jesus in his last hours is how God, he says this, quote, God is a lover with all the passion of a true love. And so when we think about his passion from Gethsemane, from his condemnation to his falling three times, all of the tradition of the stations of the cross, what we're looking at is the passion of a true love, the most passionate love out there, the love of our God for us. And I should just thank the Lord and marvel over that and meditate on that all throughout the year, not just in Lent, but all throughout the year, I should be so grateful for that. But I also want to turn to the cross. I want to be reminded of this is what love is. This is what love looks like. And so in my own life, like day to day, like I want to find my daily life story in the story of Jesus and his passion. So for example, when somebody says something, and ridicules me for being a Christian, I shouldn't be surprised. I just remember, that's what happened to Jesus. When a child doesn't respond the way I want them to, and they hurt my feelings or something, or my spouse hurts my feelings, or I hurt her feelings, we should look at that and not just like, oh, that's an annoying moment. No, this is an opportunity to encounter Jesus in the cross. When a friend lets me down, and isn't there for me, and I'm hurt. Like I turn to the cross and go, oh, well, Jesus, I just unite the suffering to you. And I find my story in my little sufferings each day in the story of Jesus Christ. And it changes my heart when I begin to see the little inconveniences in life, the little frustrations that happen in marriage and family life, or the big crosses of suffering we encounter in life. We need to see all of that in the story of the stations of the cross.
Again, the number 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We're talking with Dr. Edward Sree about his new book from Ascension Press on the Stations of the Cross. And this way, here's the paradox, too, of the cross. This way of the cross that Jesus walks for us and also invites us to walk in our life is actually the way to happiness. It's the way to wholeness. It's the way to fullness.
Yeah, and it is the shocking statement, right? I mean, I like to just think about, again, how crazy this is, this idea that we hold up the cross as Christians. If you were a Jew in the first century, you're one of those apostles, you're following Jesus, you're all excited, he's performing these miracles, the people want to claim him to be king, and if you're Andrew or Peter, you're thinking, oh, it's kingdom time, this is great, he's the Messiah, I'm his right man, can I be at your left, can I be at your right when you enter into your kingdom, right? You're all excited. And then Jesus turns to you and he says, it's time to go to Jerusalem. He says this in Matthew chapter 16. He says, it's time, we're going to go to Jerusalem now. And you're thinking, oh, it's kingdom time. You know, I mean, this is that's where the king was expected to establish his kingdom. So we've been hoping he's the Messiah. He just claimed to be the Messiah. Now he says, we're going to go to Jerusalem. Now it's time to get the thrones out. This is exciting. And then the next thing Jesus says to you, all right, you ready? You want to come with me to Jerusalem? You want to be my disciple? You want to follow me? Pick up your cross and follow. I mean, that's like, whoa, that just turns all of the world upside down. Like, wait, what? Should I pick up my throne? Pick up my extra paycheck and of the bonus I'm going to get for being an apostle? You know, like, what's the? They're thinking about the benefit they're going to get. And Jesus says, pick up the cross. That was a shameful image in the first century, a shocking image. It'd be like if I said to you, pick up your electric chair and follow me in our modern era, or pick up your guillotine and follow me. You see, the cross was the most horrific image you could think of. It was the most torturous way of death, where the Romans would take your body, strip it bare, nail it to the cross, and you would die this long process of suffocation on the public streets, shaming you, the most humiliating, painful way to die. Cicero, the early Roman orator, once even said, you know, no Roman citizen should have the word cross near them. They should just be far removed from their lips, from their ears, from their imagination. You don't even want to think about the word cross. Yeah. And yet Jesus chooses that image as the model for how to follow him.
888-318-7884. Lent is coming. This is a wonderful book to get you started on your Lenten journey and to help you through your Lenten journey. You're welcome to call and talk to Dr. Edward Sree, the author of the new Pocket Guide to the Stations of the Cross, available now at Ascension Press. More your questions for Dr. Sree right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
I don't like looking back. I prefer to look forward and keep moving forward. There's plenty to cover. I do a lot of research and try to dig out the bits and pieces of a life or of an agenda that people don't want to talk about.
The World Over with Raymond Arroyo, Thursday night, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Radio and Television.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I got another book right here next to me, a great Lenten reading, and it's just out, so I wanted to let you know that. These 12, The Gospel Through the Eyes of the Apostles by the wonderful Rod Bennett at shop.catholic.com. The promo code is 12, the word 12, not the number, T-W-E-L-V-E, saves you 25% off the softcover or ebook format of These 12, The Gospel Through the Apostles' Eyes, on sale now at shop.catholic.com. We're talking with Dr. Edward Sree. You know Dr. Sree perhaps from Symbolon or one of his many, many books, maybe No Greater Love, A Biblical Walk Through Christ's Passion, or Who Am I to Judge, or one of the others, or maybe you know him from Focus, thousands and thousands of young people now involved in and have been involved in the Fellowship of Catholic Universities, University students. Dr. Sree, also well-known around the world as a speaker at Catholic conferences on the topics that draw us closer to Jesus and his gospel. You're welcome to call and speak with them, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. The book, again, is The Pocket Guide to the Stations of the Cross. And Dr. Sree, you start it with an actual walk through the streets of Jerusalem, which it made me really want to go there and get up really, really early, because you can forget this. You know, you think of the Stations of the Cross as almost this, just like a prayer that we do or this meditation that Catholics have, but Jesus did these things. And you can go and meditate on them and walk with him.
Yeah, the whole tradition of Stations of the Cross is, you know, has historical roots in the city of Jerusalem. And so in the introduction to the book, I paint a picture for people of what it's like to be on pilgrimage. And one thing I like to do is when we do the stations, I like to get up really early in the morning, like when it's still dark or the sun's just coming up and the city is pretty empty. It's all quiet. It's still. And you're just walking and meandering through these streets and there's barely anybody there. And then you can arrive at the first station and you're walking. You enter into the old city of Jerusalem. And you're right there in the city where so much has happened historically. This is sacred ground. This is where David, 3,000 years ago, established his kingdom as his capital in Jerusalem. And this is where his son Solomon built the holy temple, the holy presence of God, the Shekinah glory, rushed into the Holy of Holies of the temple over the Ark of the Covenant, right there in this very city. And we're like walking in the same place. You know, it's incredible, right? Of the same city. It's the place where, you know, the apostles preached, where Peter and Paul were imprisoned, and so much happened. But most of all, this is the very place where Jesus preached. He called people to repentance. He debated the Pharisees. He healed so many people.
Right.
And most of all, it's where he died. And we get to retrace his footsteps, remembering his condemnation, remembering his carrying that heavy cross, remembering his encounter with Simeon and the women of Jerusalem, and ultimately being nailed to that cross. And we can go along this winding path that recollects recalls those moments, and then you get right to Calvary, the very place where Jesus died. It's so moving. If you've never been, to be able to go right to that very spot. And so I've led pilgrimage there each year, and I always love to do it that way. Because of COVID, things have been a little complicated to get there. I'm hoping Israel just loosens things up and pilgrims can get a chance to go back to the Holy City easily.
Well, even to go to on Good Friday, the tradition in Catholic churches is Good Friday to do the Stations of the Cross. Many people haven't done that for years. So it will be a relief this year if we can be in church and do that together. I'm sure many people have done it via Zoom or whatever the video thing was. But to be together on Good Friday and meditate on the Stations of the Cross is a long, long Catholic tradition. How long a Catholic tradition is it?
Oh, well, I mean, yeah, Station of the Cross really goes back like to the very early parts of the church. I mean, there's roots going back. We already know in the 100s, you know, where there's evidence of Christians going to the tomb of Jesus to worship him, you know, to remember his death and his resurrection. So there's a sense of like remembering the sacredness of the place where Jesus died in Jerusalem already. And you see that at the very beginning. I mean, you think of the women going to the tomb after he died. It's like they're the first pilgrims, if you will. But certainly by the time you get to the 313 AD, Constantine liberates the Christians. And now there's this movement to go, let's go, you know, Christianity's free. So let's go remember where Jesus, there was a longing among those Christians right there. Constantine's mother, Helena, had that longing. And when Helen goes to Jerusalem and finds all the holy places, and they build eventually this church known as the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. And, you know, it lots of parts are added on over the centuries, but they build a place over the spot where Jesus died and where his tomb is, where the resurrection took place. We know that in the 300s already, there's pilgrims throughout the empire in large numbers coming to go to that place. St. Jerome lived in Bethlehem for a while. He's writing in the early 400s. He writes about the same thing. You really get a picture of from one pilgrim. We have her record, Egeria. She has a diary of her pilgrimage to Jerusalem. And she talks about how at dawn, the bishop would go with 200 people. So 200 people are coming out on pilgrimage, and they would leave Jerusalem, go across the Kidron Valley, and retrace Jesus's footsteps from the Last Supper across the Kidron Valley to the Mount of Olives, to the Garden of Gethsemane. And there they would read the biblical account of Christ's arrests and his agony and being arrested there. And they would weep, and it was loud weeping. You'd hear it all the way across in the city of Jerusalem. And then they would go back and remember Jesus retracing the steps, and they would go pray around the place of his tomb. So you don't quite have stations yet exactly, but you have the idea of we're moving, we're in procession, and we're walking in Jesus's footsteps in his passion. That's already right there, 300s AD. By the time you get to the 5th and 6th century, there's various shrines around Jerusalem remembering different parts of Christ's passion, and people are walking along this path known as the Via Sacra, the holy path, the holy way. And then by the time you get to the medieval period, Franciscans are now running all these churches in the Holy Land, and people from all over Europe are traditionally coming there. There's by 1294, you already have a Dominican friar giving a report of different like places that you are going to remember Jesus's death. I think this all starts to solidify in the 1600s, where the church is starting to realize, you know, not everyone can afford a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. It's a long, arduous task. So they start encouraging people to build stations in their own churches. You see this also because the Muslims are taking over the Holy Land, and it's not as easy to have access to get there. And so the popes are encouraging in the 1500s, 1600s for churches to build their own local Stations of the Cross. And by the time you get into the 1700s, practically every church is called to have some kind of marker to remember the stations. By 1731, the Pope at the time, Clement XII, solidifies, like, there's all these different kind of ideas of what the stations are, and they're all centering on the ones we have today. But he's the one in 1731 that solidifies these are the 14 stations that we have to this day.
888-318-7884, our number. Dr. Edward Sree, our guest, your calls and questions. Welcome. 888-318-7884. If you're not a Catholic person, whether you're a Christian or not a Christian, if you have questions about this whole, what is this whole Stations of the Cross thing, you are welcome to call, because the Pocket Guide to the Stations of the Cross is the new book from Dr. Edward Sree. 888-318-7884. Why do we use the word station?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's because it was a prefiguring of radio stations, Catholic radio stations, like the one you're listening to now. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't believe that.
That'd be cool if it was. No, so you think it comes from the Latin word statio, and maybe in English, when you think about a station, you might think about like a train station or a bus station. So a place like that you stop, and then you're waiting, and then you go to the next step, the next path.
I gotcha.
And so that's the idea, is that what we're doing is we go and we're walking with Jesus. We don't just like read the story, like you can read it in the Gospels, but we're just going to stop and linger over the fact that Jesus is condemned to death. Let's just stop for a moment. Let's have a station here and wait and just go, wait, this is the Son of God and he's condemned. Wait, this is the Son of God who is the judge of the living and the dead, and he's being condemned? Human beings are condemning Jesus. And this right. is, by the way, the Jesus who said that, you know, don't judge lest you be judged, don't condemn lest you be condemned. So he told us not to condemn people, to judge their souls, condemn them. And what's happening? The Son of God is being condemned. I mean, just how horrific this is. And to ponder the mystery of Jesus's humility, that he's willingly allowing himself, the judge of heaven and earth, is allowing himself to be judged by Pilate here. The king of heaven and earth is allowing himself to be condemned. Let's just ponder into that. Like when I have moments in life when I feel like I'm not appreciated or someone like misunderstands me, how whiny I get.
Yeah.
Did you see Jesus whining that day? Was he complaining? Hey, don't you know who I am? He humbly accepts the lack of appreciation, the misjudgment, the misunderstanding, right? And that could be a great moment for me to look at my own life and turn those misunderstandings, those hurts, into acts of love and uniting them with Jesus. You see, that's why we need statios. We need these stations, because we know that story. And every Sunday we talk about the he was condemned under Pontius Pilate, right? We say that in the Creed.
Right.
You know, but we don't ever stop to ponder it. And so the fact that we, in our churches, we have the little marker, maybe it's just like a Roman numeral one, or maybe we have a little image, like an icon or a picture or a statue, where you see the scene and we move around the church and we can go to reflect on this. We want Christ, those stories to be written on our heart, but we have to stop for a bit. And that's why I would say, you know, yes, Stations of the Cross is, you know, the great tradition is to do them on the Fridays during Lent, especially Good Friday. And really, let's ante up and renew our commitment to Stations of the Cross every Friday of Lent. That's just something every good devout Catholic should do. You don't have to go to your church. You could just do it on your drive home. That's one thing I write about in the book. Stations are best, yes, when you do it communally, and yes, when you do it, you know, moving around the church, that's great. But you don't have to do it that way. You can go to a church on your own and pray it at your own time. I see many people do that during Lent. They just go pray at stations, and you could do it in like 10 minutes. You know, really, it doesn't have to be a long stations thing.
Right.
You could do it when you're driving. You could do it when you're going for a walk. There was a dear priest friend of mine that had a big impact on my life. And I remember I had to take him to his doctor appointments. And so on the drive, he would say, let's do stations. And he prayed the stations every day.
Wow.
It was just because the story of love. Do you want more love in your life? Then meditate upon Stations of the Cross. We as Catholics need to recover this beautiful tradition that JP2, my hero, loved the Stations of the Cross. Mother Teresa, another great modern hero, loved Stations of the Cross. And many Catholics, maybe we do it once a year.
Yeah.
Let's recover the way of love.
The Pocket Guide to the Stations of the Cross is the book. On the line, Anastasia in New York, listening on Catholic.com. Anastasia, go ahead with your question for Dr. Edward Sree. Anastasia?
Hi.
Hi, go ahead with your question for Dr. Sree.
Oh, hi. Thank you. Thank you for all your hard work, Dr. Sree. We certainly appreciate you. And definitely I've seen the fruits of your labor in the Focus organization. That's so wonderful because I think that's so necessary for our Catholic students to have something on campus.
Amen to that, Anastasia. Amen to that.
Yes. So I wanted to ask you, in terms of the Stations of the Cross, because some of our Catholic couples are not equally yoked, as they say, and some are farther ahead in their spiritual growth than others. And so presenting sort of the Stations of the Cross to you know, a partner or to someone, you know, they're engaged to, they might be kind of hesitant. And others are more kind of, you know, into the faith. There's a lot happening today in terms of, you know, the catechism's not well known. There's a lot of misunderstanding in terms of who said what and what is really Catholic teaching and what's not. So we really appreciate you trying to clarify this. But I'm wondering if you have some suggestions in terms of couples that are not equally yoked, because we're finding that there's so much trouble now.
Anastasia, we'll get an answer from Dr. Stree right after this. Got to take a quick break.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com. Here's a question. Is it really possible to be friends with someone who died 2,000 years ago? Maybe the problem is that we've grown way too comfortable with the story of Jesus. Nice man, right? Taught us to love one another, said not to judge people. We celebrate his birthday every year. It's time to put away this small, safe version of Jesus, says Cy Kellett. Nobody that bland could have transformed the world. In A Teacher of Strange Things, Cy presents Jesus Christ undiluted by sentiment, with all his radical words and deeds uncensored. Do you know someone, your son or daughter perhaps, or maybe your mom or dad, who needs the friendship of Jesus Christ? Do you? Order your copy of A Teacher of Strange Things by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Matt Swaim here. Monday on the Sunrise Morning Show, we'll discuss the real St. Valentine and continue our series on the Nicene Creed with Father John Gavin. Plus news, weather, sports, and more. Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. One of the beautiful devotions of the Catholic faith is the Stations of the Cross, one that is somewhat maybe less common or less well-known, less practiced than it was at one time. Our guest is Dr. Edward Stree, who has a brand new book out just today from Ascension Press called The Pocket Guide to the Stations of the Cross. And maybe this will be a book that will help to revive this beautiful tradition of meditating on what Christ, who loves us, has done for us. On the line, Anastasia in New York was just asking about, and Anastasia just dropped, so I'll just repeat the question. Anastasia in New York was asking about young people and reviving this among the young, many of whom don't know anything about this devotion.
Yeah, you know, I was sharing with you, Cy, over the break, I'm so blessed. I grew up with this devotion. Is just so much a part of my parish life, my Catholic school. I look back and I just realize, wow, I grew up in the, you know, 1980s when things were a little crazy sometimes in a lot of Catholic parishes. And I was just so blessed with great teachers and priests. And we did Stations of the Cross every Friday during Lent, every single Friday. But not just that, we did it every month. We did First Friday devotion in our little church. And so I just grew up, it was like second nature. This is just what you do. But I realized that that devotion has fallen a little bit to the wayside. People haven't done it as much. I think of it as just a Lenten thing. And I see the concern, because there's a lot of young people that grew up not even really, they're Catholic, but they don't even really know that much about stations. Here's the good news. I will say is that, you know, I'm so blessed to work with amazing young college students all over the country and these young focused missionaries. You know, you give them a chance to like do a devotion like this, you share it with them, and there's a little bit of explanation. It's not just, they don't like just the dry mechanical thing, but you just explain like we did. You need a statio, you need a station, a way to pause and reflect on all the aspects of Jesus's, you know, passion. This is the climax of his life. This is the revelation of love to the fullest. Like when they understand that's what this is about, oh, I'm not just kind of like standing, kneeling, you know, we adore you, Christ, and we praise you.
Right.
And just saying the words. But they really see this is what this is about. And they also see that there's creative ways you can pray it. You don't have to use the little guide. You know, that's good. You feel free to use it. You can just go and move around each station and just do a short little like prayer. You can open up your Bibles. And in fact, in the little pocket guide, I have the 14 stations of the cross and wrote reflections on each of those stations. But then I also have the biblical stations that John Paul II proposed. So you actually more directly right. connecting and doing, it's almost like doing Lectio Divina on the different scenes of Christ's passion. This is just beautiful. And I remember this summer, we took a bunch of focused missionaries right here in Denver, right outside of Denver. There's a, in the mountains, there's a place where Saint Mother Cabrini lived for a while, and she climbed this one little mountain and built a made out of rocks, a beautiful image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And there's now today there's a pilgrim's pathway up that up to that Sacred Heart that she had made, and you do stations of the cross on the way up there. So we went, and it was just picture, you know, 60 people, young people, all of them young people, going up and doing the stations, and they loved it. You know, they're all excited. I just think, you know, we often think, oh, the young people won't like things like this. I think if you just share with them and you give a little bit of the meaning, here's the background. You're not alone in doing this. You are joining millions of Christians around the world that got on boats and horses and traveled to Jerusalem throughout the centuries to literally walk in Jesus' footsteps in Jerusalem. And then you're joining the tens and hundreds of millions of other people around the world that have like not been able to make that journey, but they make that same journey in their heart, doing a pilgrimage in their heart, in their own churches, doing the rite of the stations of the cross, the ritual. So I think if you just give a little meaning to it, you give them the experience, they love it, and they're going to run after it.
Again, the number 888-318-7884, your calls welcome for Dr. Edward Sri. We'll go to Jan in Indiana, listening on 89.1 FM. Jan, we're very glad to have you. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Sri.
Hi, I've called in before. I've talked to you before. I'm a new Catholic, so I didn't know this was a thing. Like, we did it during my catechism classes. We did all did the Stations of the Cross together, but I didn't realize that's something I should be doing, like annually, I guess.
Oh, how long ago did you come into the church, Jan?
It was right in the middle of COVID, 2020. Yeah.
I feel like maybe
you kind of got all pushed around and...
Yeah, we maybe didn't do it. We maybe didn't do it during COVID. But, I mean, the tradition at the minimum has been that the church prayed it publicly together on Good Friday. But it's not like going to Mass on a holy day of obligation. I don't think it comes with any obligation to go. So some go, some don't.
So they probably just haven't done it then, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe this year they will. Okay.
Dr. Sri?
Okay, yeah, I came in and everything was a mess.
You know? Sorry about that. But guess what? The nice thing is, in the Catholic Church, it's always a mess. So, look, you got that to look forward to. Well, that's not quite true, but Dr. Sri.
Yeah, I think you're right on side that this isn't like a moral obligation that you absolutely must do Stations of the Cross, like attending Mass on Sunday and holy days of obligation. It's not like that. And secondly, you're right. Like we didn't do stations certainly in 2020. Many places didn't do it last Lent because of COVID, although some did. I think this year, I think every parish should be doing stations this year. No reason to not do stations of the cross in person, like not just online. If you're you have a serious health issue and you want to watch it online or just do it in your own home, great. But I think parishes are, at this point, are going to be offering stations, which is wonderful. But don't think of it as an obligation, but think of it as, I love Jesus and I want to love him more and I want to love my spouse more, my friends more, the people in my life more. I want to grow in love. And if you want to grow in love, you want the story of Christ's passion on your mind and on your heart more. And one of the best, beautiful devotions that we have, that, as we've talked about, has roots going all the way back to the very early Christians, Stations of the Cross is the number one devotion to help us to do that. And it really to have those moments to just take each little step of Jesus on his way to Calvary, to pause, to reflect on what is he teaching me? What is he trying to show me? How is he trying to encourage me or comfort me? How is he challenging me in some way? It is a beautiful thing to do. So it's not so much of a have to. I look at it as like, I get to do this. I don't have to wait for my parish to open up. I could just do it in my own home. So you can go online, Jan, and probably just find some, a little bit about the stations, and it's something you can pray all around the year. You know, a beautiful thing to do as a part of our own spiritual life from time to time to write on our heart, but especially in Lent.
Okay, Jan.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, welcome home. We're so glad you're here, and it's just interesting to think that you're probably going to be for a few years discovering things that, oh, the Catholics do that, and because we just haven't done them for the last couple of years. So. I hope.
Yeah, and you guys really help, though, getting to hear different things. I love your show. It's great.
Well, thank you. Thanks very much. I hope you'll call again, Jan.
Oh, I'm sure I will.
Okay, yeah. When we come up with the next Catholic devotion that you haven't heard of. The number is 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. It strikes me as you're talking that there's a kind of similarity between the Stations of the Cross and the Rosary in that it involves meditation on the life of Jesus, that both involve meditation on the life of Jesus. And I think that it's quite possible that many of our Protestant brothers and sisters might avoid the Rosary because of the Hail Mary prayer being such a prominent part of it. But the meditations involve things you would find in the Gospel. But in the Station of the Cross, I don't think that you would find any kind of impediment that any Christian could pray the Stations of the Cross without feeling like, oh, this is, I'm crossing a sectarian line or something.
Yeah, I mean, I do have evangelical friends that are just a little nervous sometimes about anything that's like formal. Like, why are you saying just formal prayers? So that might be a little bit of an impediment for some of them.
Yeah.
Like, how come I just can't, just reflect on Christ's passion, read the Bible in my home? They might object to, in the 14 traditional Stations of the Cross, there are some of them that aren't explicitly found in Scripture. Like, where does it say Jesus fell three times?
Right, right. Yeah.
And it doesn't explicitly say that, right? That's a tradition. But I think there's beautiful significance in it. Like, I write about something Pope Benedict notes that, there was a threefold fall, like when we fell, there's a threefold wound in the human heart, and these are the great sins we have to overcome, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And that Jesus in those three falls are kind of shouldering that wound in our human, condition as a result of sin. So I think there's reasons for that, or where do you get this Veronica thing? And,
right, right.
Because that's not explicitly in Scripture, but, that's a very, long-standing tradition in the church. And, so they might have some concerns there. But if that was their impediment, you know what I would say? I'd go, okay, just how about this? Pray John Paul II's 1991 version, which was the scriptural, and it's purely scriptural, and that one begins with the agony in the garden, and it's all just right from Scripture. And I wouldn't let them be caught up on like the couple we have from sacred tradition. Just go right to Scripture, and it's a beautiful way to reflect on Christ's passion as well.
The number is 888-318-7884. We're talking about the Stations of the Cross. Lent coming, maybe a good time to start the practice of praying the Stations on Fridays, or maybe praying the Stations in some form each day. Many people pray the Rosary each day. Many people take on other devotions. Perhaps the Stations of the Cross is the devotion for this year for you, or for life. You can check out the pocket guide to the Stations of the Cross at ascensionpress.com, ascension.com/ stations. We'll be right back with more with Dr. Sri and your calls to 888-318-7884 right after this.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
What a great grace it is to have the opportunity to use the airwaves for the honor and glory of God, to be able to talk to the hearts of individuals and meet them where they are in their relationship with our Lord, and also to encourage them forward.
Women of Grace with Johnette Williams, tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. It's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day to you and your Valentine. If you got a Valentine, I don't know. Anyway, the number is 888-318-7884. I don't know where I was going with all that. Sometimes the words just start coming out. I don't know where they're going. And then they don't go anywhere. And then I feel weird. But second hour, we're going to talk about loving your spouse. As a matter of fact, loving your spouse really, really turns out this is really important to the Christian faith. And the Christian faith, because Jesus did, has a great deal to say about loving your spouse. And this hour, we have Dr. Edward Sri with us, and I gave the wrong address. Let me just straighten it out. It is ascensionpress.com/stations. To get the website for the pocket guide to the Stations of the Cross, which is just new out this year, maybe something for your Lent this year, ascensionpress.com/stations. The number is 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. You are welcome to call with your question about the Stations of the Cross. If you're a new Catholic, if you've been a Catholic for a long time, if you've never been Catholic and you're just curious about what this Catholic devotion is about, 888-318-7884. So you can, I mean, this is kind of, I have to say, it's kind of something I hadn't given a great deal of thought to, that, but that you can, just as some people do the Divine Mercy Chaplet every day, and some do the Rosary every day, and I know there's some that do all of these things every day. Some do the Liturgy of the Hours, the Church's liturgy every day, sing the Psalms. You can pray the Stations of the Cross every day.
You can, and I'll be honest, I don't pray them every day, and I'm trying to pray them more in my life, and I have. It's interesting. I've done this, you know, where especially when I was working on the book, you know, I was working on it and reflecting on it, you know, during the pandemic, and I remember going on a flight, and I just said, you know, I'm going to try this, and on the plane, I did stations, and I remember I was driving to work one day, and I decided I'm going to drive to work and try the stations. And it was actually just nice. And I think sometimes when people think, if you've been to a Stations of the Cross, you think of, oh my goodness, that's like a 30-minute, you know, I don't know, 20, 40-minute commitment, depending on how long the parish is doing it. But it really doesn't take that long. There's only 14 of them. And you don't have to, like, again, you don't have to do a red prayer. And again, in the book, I offer like the actual prayers, you know, so you can say this, you could do it as a family in your home, you could do it as a group, but you can also just do it on your own, and you don't have to do the set prayers. It's simply what the church simply asks that you do, is that you reflect on each of these 15 statios, these moments, and you pause, and you're just reflecting on them. And the best way to do it is when you are able to get up and move around and, you know, in a church, but you can, like I said, do it on a walk, do it on a drive, do it on an exercise bike, and to just take maybe 7 minutes, like 30 seconds on each of the stations. That's not that lot. That's shorter than a Divine Mercy Chaplet. And you just spend a little bit of time just pausing and reflecting on each of those stations. Now, the hard part is most of us don't have those stations memorized.
Yeah.
So maybe you just need to, like, you know, have it, you know, printed out and you have it in your pocket and you just go to it. But eventually you can have it memorized. It won't be that hard. It's pretty clear, like moving from step to step where it goes. And but I've found it personally interesting to do it that way. I will say my family, we've often done stations at home, you know, particularly during Holy Week. We'll do our own stations. And we set up little statues. We set up little candles, like in 14 different spots around the house, and we do the prayers. And we just move around with all the kids, and they totally remember it. And you know, it's,
how cool.
They trip on each other, and like, you're in my way, and let me hold the candle now, and all that's got, you know, it's messy, but it is a beautiful way to kind of bring your family life into it. So what I'm trying to do in the book is explain the history, the real spiritual significance of the stations, and then offer creative, practical ways to incorporate it in your life so that when you go into this Lent, stations just becomes like a little more natural part of your life. You could use this as part of your just daily prayer, quite honestly, during Lent. Yeah. Maybe that's one thing you could do in Lent and say, you know, each day, you know, let's say I pray for a while, I'm going to just use part of it to reflect on a couple stations each day. That can be a beautiful way to start incorporating the stations of the cross into your life.
Again, 888-318-7884, the number 888-318-7884. You don't have to know anything about the stations of the cross. You don't even have to be Catholic if you want to call and ask a question about it. But 888-318-7884. Dr. Sri, the thing is to get to become fully Christian is to become Alter Christi, is to become Christ in a way to others, to those that we encounter. And unless we internalize this way of the cross, however we do it, whatever is the devotion, we really can't become another Christ. This has to be written on our hearts in a way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like to say that, I write about this in the introduction, that the stations of the cross, on one hand, they're like windows into the heart of Jesus, windows into his amazing love.
Yeah.
But then I say, but they're not just windows. They're actually like doorways. In other words, Jesus doesn't want us like on the outside looking through the window and going, wow, that's amazing. You're awesome,
yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, look at your good job, love. Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah. He doesn't want our applause, right? He wants our hearts.
Yeah.
He wants us to walk through the doorway and enter into each station, enter into the mystery of his love that he's revealing step by step through these stations there. You know, so for example, you know, I used the example at the beginning of, you know, like, you know, of Jesus being condemned. And when we think about Jesus being condemned, are there times when you are misunderstood, when your spouse misunderstands you, your boss misunderstands you, or you're falsely accused of something? Like, don't look at that as just like, oh, that's a painful moment or a frustrating moment. Look at it as an opportunity to be united more to Jesus. And how did Jesus respond? He responds humbly, you know, or think about Jesus taking the cross. I mean, he freely chose to embrace that cross. Like, what's the message in there? Well, I'm going to have crosses in life. And I should trust that if God is allowing this situation to happen, this thing to unfold in my life, I don't like it. It's hard. It's painful. But if the God of the universe in his providence allowed this to happen, do I really trust him? Do I trust that he's in charge? And if he allowed this to happen, there's some good in it. There's some good in it for the world around me. There's good in it for me, that there's something God's trying to teach me through this cross. Do I really believe that Jesus embraced his cross? And what I do when I get a cross, I get angry, or I get frustrated, or I get discouraged, or I get really sad, and I start complaining or whatever. You know, I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be a great disciple, a great Christian man, and not run away from the crosses in my life. I want to embrace them. I want to find Jesus there. I want to find whatever spiritual lesson he's trying to teach me through that. You know, or we could think about like Veronica wiping the face of Jesus. And that's just not just a nice story going, oh, I'll stand on the outside. Way to go, Veronica. That's so kind of you. But am I really thinking through? No. I mean, do I look around the people in my life and notice their suffering? Or do I just run around this office and run around my neighborhood and just do my own things? Right. Am I really able to see the suffering of others, and does my heart go out to want to help them like Veronica did? So that's why the stations aren't just windows, they're doorways. And the question is, Jesus is inviting us at each statio, at each pause in this journey, he's inviting us to walk through that doorway with him.
Now, you said there's 14 stations of the cross that are the traditional 14 stations of the cross. There are 14 kind of gospel Stations of the Cross that Pope John Paul wrote, some of which, of course, overlap. I mean, we're not going to keep the crucifixion of Jesus out of either one of those. But you can do either. So if I get this book, the Pocket Guide to the Stations of the Cross, do you provide meditations for all of those various stations?
All 28 stations. So the first 14, again, they don't contradict each other. They're just meant to like supplement each other. So you got the 14 traditional ones. And so I have like the set prayers, like, you know, so it does say, we adore you, O Christ, and we praise you, because by your holy cross you've redeemed the world. And then there's a little meditation, and then there's the prayer everyone says in response, right? So it's just like you would get the little booklets. So we wrote some that, but there, you know, there's a lot of stations out there that are very beautiful traditional stations reflections. But what I tried to do is like relate it to the things we struggle with today here in the, you know, the year 2022. You know, what are some of the things that maybe we face that that others don't face? So I have things on there about social media, you know, and how much it grabs our attention. Like that's just St. Alphonsus Liguori didn't have to worry about that when he wrote his, you know. And so I try to bring it into our modern condition. I bring in a lot of examples from marriage, from family life, from friendship. So it's like a prayerful way of bringing the stations into our daily life that we live as 21st century Christians today. And I do that for the 14 stations, traditional ones. And then I draw out also scripturally the scriptural stations across, same kind of thing as well.
Michael in San Antonio, Texas, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Thank you for your call, Michael. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Edward Sree.
Yes, well, I had a comment. You were talking about Protestants' reservations about the Stations of the Cross, maybe because it includes saying the Hail Mary
the Rosary. Yes. Okay. Right.
Saying the Hail Mary. And I thought, well, wait, the Hail Mary is right out of the gospel, right out of the Gospels.
Oh, you are good. You should be. You're an apologist. I have forgotten that. Yeah. Go ahead, Dr. Sree.
Yeah, that's awesome, Michael. Thank you. That's a great answer. I was just in San Antonio yesterday, actually. So good to hear your call from the wonderful state of Texas. I've been on this show and we've talked about how the Hail Mary is biblical. The Rosary is very biblical. So you're spot on. The words come from the Archangel Gabriel, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Then they come from the Saint Elizabeth at the visitation scene, saying to Mary, blessed art thou among women and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. The second half is then just asking Mary to pray for us. And the very center of the Hail Mary is Jesus. So you're right on. It is a biblical prayer. It takes a while to teach that to a Protestant. They're still going to be very nervous about repeating Hail Mary, 50 plus times. Whereas Stations, I think, is an easier on-ramp for them. But I do want to get them to see the biblical roots of the Rosary and the Hail Mary. All right.
Good catch, though, Michael. Thank you.
Even the second half says, Holy Mary, Mother of God.
Well, that one's in some that's slightly more controversial, referring to Mary as Mother of God. That's not directly from the Bible, although Elizabeth does refer to her as the Mother of my Lord.
I understand, but if Christians believe in that she is in fact the Mother of Jesus and that Jesus is God.
See, that's what I'm saying, Michael.
Oh, yeah.
You're a natural apologist. You're right on the money. I'm just saying that that's
spot on, Michael. I'd say the same thing. You're right on the money. It's just it would take many steps to get a Protestant to see that. Whereas Stations is a little bit quicker. I want to get the Protestant there, but it takes a little bit, a couple steps to get there. So, but thanks so much. Yeah. Great question.
The other thing that I have noticed too is that more and more of our Protestant brothers and sisters, and I hope this doesn't come off as some kind of triumphalism, I don't mean it that way, just discovering the beauty of Lent in general, that having this period of penance and recollection that goes on for 40 days or however many days you might practice it is really a good preparation for Easter.
Absolutely. I see it more and more across all the Christian denominations turning to great seasons like Advent and Lent. That's awesome. Let's, as Catholics, really live Lent deeply. Let's embrace the wonderful tradition of Stations of the Cross. It'll help us to really have that passion on our hearts and on our minds these 40 days ahead.
Amen. Praise God. Pocket Guide to the Stations of the Cross, the brand new book from Dr. Edward Sree. ascensionpress.com/stations. Dr. Sri, thank you. It's always a pleasure to speak to you. Twice in 2 weeks is just, I don't know what I have done to please the Lord, but I definitely a gift. Thank you.
My joy. Thanks for having me. God bless.
Steve Ray coming up. We're going to talk about loving your spouse. Turns out that's pretty close to the heart of your Christian vocation. Mine too. Let's learn from Steve right after this. Catholic Answers Live.